Take your Bibles and enter to Psalm 37 and verse number 8. Psalm 37 and verse number 8 tonight. Apologize for the technical difficulties of the microphone this morning. Got them straightened out. It's amazing all that trouble's caused by a little switch. And so we forgot to throw that switch this morning on this microphone when switching from headset. And so we got it all straightened out. Praise the Lord. And thankful that we're able to have these things and able to broadcast the message of the gospel around the world. And I just get excited like this morning just preaching the gospel like that, that people around the world are hearing it. That's exciting to me, and that's what the Lord calls us to do, isn't it? To preach the gospel to every creature, to go in all the world and preach the gospel and all to every creature, and that we're to share the gospel, not only share the gospel, but also disciple and baptize, and we just thank the Lord that we're able to do that in that way. Psalm 37, verse number 8 tonight. So tonight we're going to be looking at the results of anger. The results of anger. That's the title tonight. Simple title, but anger has results. And anger seems to be everywhere. You see it every time you look at the news, all over the place, see anger and division. And many times you see anger expressed when people have a difference of opinion. And tonight, what are the results of that? And even among Christians, it's becoming more commonplace to see anger expressed. And what are we to do about that? And anger brings some serious results. Now, I'm talking about sinful anger. I'm not talking about the anger of the Lord. The anger of the Lord is perfect and holy, amen? And there's nothing sinful about it. There's nothing sinful about what Jesus did when he drove the money changers out of his father's house. Nothing sinful about that and what Jesus did. But we're talking about sinful anger tonight. And there's nothing wrong with being upset about an injustice. Nothing wrong with being upset about sin. Amen? Nothing wrong with that. However, when our anger drives us to actions which are sinful, there's a problem there. So how do we control that? What are the results of it? So let's look at what the Bible says tonight. We'll look first at Psalm 37, verse number 8. If we could stand out of respect for the ring of the Word of God, Psalm 37 and verse number 8 tonight. Psalm 37, verse number 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing tonight. Dear Father, we pray that you would guide and direct us in this area of anger. Oh Lord, the devil tempts us to be angry. Oh Lord, anger is part of our natural sinful makeup. But Lord, you want to use that, and we want to lay down our emotions at your feet tonight. And Lord, we confess our sin before you if we've been angry. We confess our sin, but Lord, we want to see our lives used of thee. We want to be in a right relationship with you. And Lord, we want to be in a right relationship with others around us. Lord, help us in this area of anger. Show us, Lord, where we fail. And Lord, I pray that we be humble enough to admit the need for thy help, and that we would admit our sin if we are guilty of it, Lord. And remind us of what thy word teaches us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated tonight. Cease from anger. Very clear command of God. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Now, anger and wrath are two related things, but different things. Anger is what we would call being upset. But wrath is rage. It becomes uncontrolled and results in rage and shouting and yelling and uncontrolled actions and words. And the Bible very clearly teaches against that. Very clearly teaches against these things. And why? Because they bring results in our life which are not of God. And the first result we're going to look at tonight is the first result that anger brings is sin. Anger brings sin. Anger, unrestrained, selfish, prideful anger, it will always result in sin. Amen? It always will. And this is the type of anger that the Bible is telling us to cease from, to stop doing it, to stop going in this direction. And this is flesh-driven, sinful anger that is unrestrained. It is selfish. It is prideful. It will always result in sin. If our pride is involved, it's going to end up in sin. Amen? All that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and what? The pride of life is always going to result in sin. And when we become angry, what happens? It results in sin. It results in sinful words. How many of us have said something we regret when we're angry?
You know what? Don't have to do a raise of hand, because every single person will raise their hand tonight that they have said something in anger that they regret that they should not have said. Because when we get angry, we begin to get in that sinful position. We begin to use our words as weapons. And God tells us that we're not to use our words as weapons. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. We talked a couple weeks ago about that, about perverse words, idle words, and words that are vain. And a lot of times when people get angry, what comes out of their mouth? Profanity, many times. Comes out when they get angry, they get upset because they can keep it all together, keep it under control. But man, when you get boiling and you start saying things, maybe profanity. So why don't you use profanity? Well, do you use hurtful words? Begin to attack the other person. Begin to attack and to tear down, and your only goal is that you're right and you're going to tear them to shreds. That's sinful. What we're all to, we're to be speaking words and let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is the use of what? Edifying. Building up. You're to build with your words. We're not to use our words to destroy. We're not to use our words to tear someone else down, to insult them, make fun of them. You know what? If you know so what happens to people when you make fun of them, what happens most of the time? What is it? They get angry. Right? What does the Bible say? That we're not to provoke one another to wrath. But to what? Good works. And edify and build them up. Sinful words, but also lead to sinful actions. Sometimes physical actions. Get in a fight with people. Well, they said this, and I'm right, and they're wrong, and we get our fists out. Or we push people around, or wrestle around, and because we're right, sin, that's sinful. Amen? Got quiet. It's sinful. It's wrong. Whenever we are expressing ourselves in anger and getting physical or using our words as weapons or using our bodies as weapons, it's sinful. Also, sinful attitudes. You know, sometimes we think of someone in anger that is explosive, boiling over anger. You know, anger isn't necessarily expressed that way. Some people, they have the seething anger. Oh, that's almost worse than the boiling over kind. Because they just see if they're quiet. They just don't say anything, and they bottle up. You know what happens when you put water inside of a sealed container and you seal the lid and you add some heat to it? You know what? That bottle might hold that thing together for a while, but eventually that bottle's going to blow. And that's what happens with people with seething anger. And people with seething anger, they are usually more organized people. They have a different type of personality, but you know what they start doing? They start plotting in ways they can hurt the other person. Hurtful attitudes, hurtful actions, even hurtful words are more calculating. Instead of boiling over and being brawling and things like that, they seethe on the inside. Sinful attitudes. Begin to have other things, bitterness and things like that. We'll get to that in a minute. But sinful attitudes. So sinful words, sinful actions, sinful attitudes. We see the anger of Saul towards David. He got angry and threw a spear out trying to kill him. For what? For nothing. He was angry over, he was rejected from being king. He was angry at the results of his own sin. We see the anger of Nabal. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 25. We see Nabal, David came to him with a kind request. Now, Nabal is described here in 1 Samuel 25 as a churlish man. A churlish man is one who is rude and selfish, an angry man. Said that he was a very arrogant man, very proud man, and the words that he used were very rude and also an angry man. 1 Samuel 25 and verses 3 through 11. 1 Samuel 25, verses 3 through 11. Now, the name of the man was Nabal, the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, Get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee, and peace to be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shears. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we heard them not, neither was there aught missing unto them, all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants, and to thy son David. And when David's young men came and spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David, and ceased, and Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? Very arrogant, a very rude response. Now at this time in Israel, what is going on is he is just asking them that they had protected his shearers. They had protected them, and all they are asking is some provisions to be on their way. And that because he was a prosperous man, and he was definitely not a generous man. What does it say? He was evil in his doings. He just loved to get and to get and to get. He wasn't generous. And because of this, he had angry words and rude words for David and his men. Well, God judged him for that. Not many days afterwards, Nabal ended up dead because of his churlish countenance. Doesn't have good results. But don't we see the results, and also in people's lives that we see? Angry people, they many times have other sin problems in their life. You know that many times angry people are angry because of their sin? You know that? When people live in lives of sin, maybe it's a secret sin, maybe it's an open sin, but because of their sin, they're under the conviction of God, and they're fighting God, and they're angry about it, and they express their anger to other people. They're angry about the consequences God is bringing into their life. They're angry about the chastisement of the Lord, and they take it out on other people. They're not satisfied, and they're not in peace in their heart. They know that they're in sin, and they express it in anger many times. But we've known people that are quick to anger, and they've ruined their testimony with people. They've ruined some pastors have ruined their testimony being quick to anger. They have other people that have ruined their testimony with the lost because they got angry at work or in a situation. The results aren't good. Now we see then the first result is sin. Second, the result is division. Look at Numbers chapter 20 and verses 10 through 12. Numbers chapter 20 and verses 10 through 12. Division. Anger brings division because anger comes from pride. And we'll look at that in a moment. But Numbers chapter 20 and verses 10 through 12. Numbers 20 verses 10 through 12. We see the result here of anger. Now the Lord gave Moses and Aaron a command. Verse 8, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth as water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and the beast and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, and he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the Lord, before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of the rock? Now, this was after they had complained that they didn't have any water, and God said, I'll provide it for them, but Moses was fed up. Moses was what? He was angry with them. He was tired and fed up with them. His patience had run out. They had been a stiff-necked people. They had not listened. And now says, do we need to fetch you water out of this rock? And what did he do? And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together in verse 10. Before the rock, he said to them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and the beasts also. So what's the big deal about that? He didn't do what the Lord said. He said, speak to it. In anger, he struck that rock twice, what happened in verse number 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron. Many times we think of Moses, but this was true for Aaron too. And because he believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Just like that. Anger brought division. they would not be allowed to enter into the kingdom, into the land that God had promised. You know, we don't think much about it, but can you imagine how Moses felt at that moment? He was leading these people. He was guiding these people. And all of a sudden, you're not going to take them in, Moses. You're not going to take them in because you got angry because you didn't believe in me. You got proud and believed in yourself. Notice how the phrase here goes. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? Ye rebels, must we? So did he take, he took the glory away from God. He was proud, and he brought the glory from Aaron and himself. And as a result, division happened. Proverbs 13, verse 10. And when we get angry with another individual, they said, well, within Moses, he got angry over sin. He was tired of the people. Now, there's a difference about being upset about an injustice and upset about sin and being fed up with somebody. There's a big difference. Being fed up with somebody is not of God. That's a lack of patience and a lack of compassion and a lack of love in your heart. Amen? There's a difference between being upset about sin but still loving somebody and being fed up with somebody. Moses was fed up. And he got to a place of a lack of patience, a lack of compassion, a lack of charity, as the Lord commands us to have, and he rose up in his pride. Proverbs 13, verse 10 tells us this, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Only by pride comes contention. You know, when people come in and they talk to us and things, it's, I'm in trouble fighting with my wife. I don't do a thing. She always starts it. And then she says, well, I don't do anything. He always starts it. And then they about start fighting in my office about who starts it. You know what I tell them? You both start it. Only by pride cometh contention. Someone can become upset and angry, but the other person can calm things down. A word fitly spoken, amen? Soft answer turneth away wrath. Because sometimes even the best of us can get upset about things. It brought division in Moses' life. It will bring division in our relationship with God. Remember, if you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. As the psalmist said, it will bring division in our earthly relationships. When we are angry, what do? We attack. Anger comes from pride. When we realize that we might not be right. And what do disagreements happen about? What do fights come about? One, we have two differing points of view. One's right, one's wrong. And you think you're right. And you're going to make sure that the other person understands that you're right. Right? That sounds reasonable, Pastor. And the other person believes they're right. They're correct, I should say. And they know they're correct, and they think that you need to admit that they're correct. You know what? You know what might be possible? You're both wrong. Many times that happens. You're both wrong. Maybe one person is right. But at the same time, that doesn't mean we rise up in anger and begin to attack with our words and with our actions, because that's going to bring a division in a relationship. How many relationships between children and parents, between siblings, between husband and wife, between family members, between friends have happened because of what? Angry words. You know, and sometimes, you know, with guys, it's a little easier. Hey, you know, we got angry. We hugged it out. You know, we're all good. You know, we hug it out and we're fine. That's really not true. You know that? Because you'll always remember that that person got angry at you. And that person will always remember that you got angry at them. They'll always remember the words that you said. They'll forgive it. Yes, absolutely. You need to forgive and forget. But at the same time, we don't forget. We know those things in our heart and our life. And that can break trust down. So the results we're getting are not good results, are they? Division. Division in our relationship with God. Division in our earthly relationships. So, Pastor, you understand, they're wrong, and I'm right. There is only one who is right, that is God. Amen? And we need to lay our pride down. God wants peace in our life. What does the Bible say? Look at Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22 and verse 24. Proverbs 22 and verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. As a division, I would say, wouldn't you say? The Lord says, stay away from them, lest you learn his ways, because his ways aren't going to be good. His ways are a snare. His ways are not a good result. Proverbs 29, verse 22. Proverbs 29, verse 22. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in what? Transgressions. What is sin? Transgression of the law. You know, I've heard this said. I've actually heard people say this many times in my life, actually. Even here, Christian school and church at times, different things. Well, if you believe that, you know, also that's what you believe? Well, you're just stupid. You believe that. You're stupid. You know where that comes from? That whole you're stupid thing? That's anger. Do we realize that? Because we are defending our position, we're attacking. That's anger. Maybe it's not, and you know, when we start barbing our words at each other, that's anger. You have an anger problem. We always think anger is yipping and yelling and hitting stuff. Not necessarily. It can be quiet. That's anger, because when you go, go out at somebody, that's anger. That's pride. Because you know what you're creating? Contention is what you're creating by that. Instead of going to, hey, let's look at what the Bible says. The Bible makes for peace, doesn't it? Because when we start getting into our opinions, everyone's got an opinion. I mean, I could say a question about something. I could go around to every single young person, every single adult, and you might have some opinions that agree, but some you might not have the same opinion, right? You know, especially what do we realize in politics, right? And different things like that, and different cultural things, and we think about different things, and we get into our opinions, and people get into debates, and people get into contentions. Why? Because they think they're right. But all of our opinions, do they really matter? Does your opinion really matter? Well, yes, Pastor, it does. According to God, it doesn't. His word is all that matters. Amen? Amen. It's all that matters. That will bring contention to an end, because people can argue with one another, but you can't argue with God. Amen? And if someone wants to argue with God, we know what we say. There's nothing I can do to help you. That's sometimes what I have to do as a pastor. If you don't want to listen to the word of God, there's nothing I can do to help you. I'm not going to sit here and fight with you, because if you won't take God's word, I can't help. Sometimes we have to back away from situations. That's making for peace. Because what good is it to take the Bible and ram it down someone's throat and get angry at them and tell them, well, you're wrong. You just need to get right with God and repent of your wickedness. You know what that happens? You shut a door. They'll never come back to you. Help again. You shut a door on somebody. You burn a bridge. And you know what? That's not how God works. That's our pride and contention that destroyed something. Don't let anger separate. Don't let anger separate a relationship between husband and wife. Don't let it separate between siblings. Don't let it separate parents and kids. Don't let it separate friends. Don't let it separate coworkers. Don't let anger get in there. The third result of anger, look at Genesis chapter 4 and verses 5 through 8. The third result is Genesis chapter 4, verses 5 through 8, is hate. Hatred, anger, unrepented of, will lead to hate and also to bitterness. Genesis chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? Now, it's interesting. Isn't it amazing when the Lord asks questions? He knows the answer, but he wants you to realize why you're mad. He wanted Cain to realize why he was upset. Wanted to admit his hard attitude, and do we see him admit it? No, he doesn't. You don't see Cain say anything. Verse 7, if thou doest well, thou shalt not be accepted. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin, what? Lieth at the door. and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now, verse 8, you know what? Cain says nothing in that whole interchange. Lord, speaking to him, he says nothing. You know what? Sometimes when your kids get mad about something, and they're sitting there seething, and they're upset about what their brother or sister did to them, and you go to them, and you talk to them, what's the matter? They don't want to say anything? Nothing. Well, it's something. You got your poochie lip out, and you got your attitude on, and you got your fist cleansed, right? There's something, right? Nothing's the matter. I'm fine. You know, I can just kind of see in my mind's eye Cain acting like that. Sometimes, you know, adults can act like little kids. Sometimes. We all have that sin nature. We all have that ability to do that. And God came to him and said, don't just fix the problem. It's not my fault that you did wrong. Because don't we try to blame somebody else for our sin? But then what happened with Cain, he thought it was his brother's fault. Well, God just loves my brother better than he loves me. I did okay. I don't know what God's problem is. I did just as good as Abel did. I hate my brother because God loves him more than he loves me. Don't you see that sometimes? You see that in family sometimes, unfortunately. You know, brothers and sisters that despise one another because they feel that mom and dad favor them over one of another. Sometimes that's not true. Sometimes it's because the one child decided to do right, and it's the child that decides to do wrong. It gets the consequences of wrongdoing. That gets the hateful spirit. We've all seen it. You know, it begins into this anger and hatred, which grew into murder. Not a good result of anger, is it? Not a good result. Hatred, and it leads to bitterness as well. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. And verse 31, Hebrews 4:31, bitterness. Bitterness only hurts you. It doesn't hurt the other person. It's our attempt to inflict pain and suffering on someone else by withholding forgiveness. I'll never forgive them for what they did to me. You're only holding yourself prisoner. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and what? Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Seems like a simple verse, but all that right there. Bitterness comes from what? Anger, wrath, clamor, and that all brings forth evil speaking and malice. That's all bitterness is, all summed up right there. Anger, wrath, malice, evil speaking, meaning tearing someone else down, using your words as weapons. What's the answer to it? Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Forgive them. That's the key, the answer to bitterness. But we see here in Hebrews chapter number 12, verse 15. Look over there, Hebrews 12, 15. We see that it's described as a root of bitterness. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Many be defiled. Many are affected by your bitterness. But it's described as a root. Now, there's a funny thing about roots, especially no matter what root you have or something, maybe you, especially if you let it get well established in the ground, whether it be a bush or something like that, that some people, what they do is they just take care of the problems that are manifested, but they don't take care of the root. Out here in the back, we have some bushes. They're thorn bushes. That we cut them off and we thought, hey, you know what? They're going to be dead and gone and fine. Guess what? They're back because we didn't take care of the root. And, you know, when we got in there, we saw some of those trees out there. You know, those trees were pretty little looking. Now, they were little. How hard could they be to get out? It took a bus to pull them out. Trees like this. You know what? They had root systems underground. I mean, they had roots just as big as their trunk. And they go way down deep. And then we started pulling them out. I mean, they were going 15, 20 feet in all directions, pulling it out of the ground. And you know what? We don't always see on the outside because all we want to notice is what we see our actions being. But our root of bitterness can go really deep, and it can affect a lot of different people a long ways away from us. But what do you have to do? You have to dig it up. missionary that came through, I believe his brother Ingram, said something interesting to me. He said, bitterness is one of the only sins that you have to constantly keep dealing with because it's a root. You dig it up, and you dig up a little more, and you hit something else, and it brings up again, digs down a little more. You have to keep dealing with it until it's all gone. Keep dealing in this situation, in this situation. And I sat down and thought about that. I said, you know what? I think that's why the Bible describes it as a root. Because some roots, you keep pulling them up, and it's not a one-time thing. Yes, you make a decision, but a constant decision, you're not going to let this keep a hold on your life, and you keep pulling the root out, keep pulling the root out. If you ever pull a bush out, you can be pulling roots out for a while. You're out there mowing, and your root's sticking up again. I'm like, what's this? And you got to pull that out. You got to be careful not to let bitterness. But you know what? It takes time for a root system like that to establish. It takes a while. It takes some time. So don't let bitterness grow in your heart. Don't let anger and wrath and all of these things fester in your heart, because the longer you leave it, the deeper the roots go, the harder it is to deal with. But the Lord can give you victory over it tonight. What are we to do? Look at 1 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 2. We're to love the brethren. We're to show love to our Christian brothers and sisters in Christ. We're to show them love and compassion. Not to show them hatred and evil and anger. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1 and 2. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. Right here, we talked earlier that the source of anger is pride. I know something you don't know. I'm right. You're wrong. Are we right? Maybe we could be in the right, but are we treating and responding right? We could be doing the right thing in the wrong way. Well, I am right. The Bible says that I'm right. You know, some people get upset and angry about biblical things, but they respond in the wrong way, and that ruins the message, doesn't it? You've got to be careful about that. We also to love our enemies. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. Matthew 5, 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. If ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So I like my brothers and sisters in Christ. I like the people at church, but those other people, I don't like them. I hate them. You know what, these churches that put their signs up, God hates gays and all this stuff? That's not biblical. That's not loving the enemies of God. They're enemies of God because they're in sin. Guess what? You were once an enemy of God because of your sin. You once were that too. Well, God hates soldiers. God hates all this stuff. It's terrible. It's wrong. It's wicked and abominable. And that's not the love of God. That's pride and arrogance in their own opinion, which isn't worth very much. So how do you get victory over anger? Well, the first thing that we have to realize is realize it's sin. Look at Ecclesiastes 7:9. Ecclesiastes 7:9. What are we to do with it? Repent of it. Realize it's sin. Your anger outbursts, your wicked words, your evil words, your profanity, or your destructive words that come out of your mouth when you get hurt, either physically or emotionally. We need to realize it's sin. Verse 9, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of who? Fools. You're foolish. God wants us to be wise. God wants us to be wise. Walk as wise. Walk circumspectly. Not to be angry as the foolish people do. Realize it's sin. But also, Christ can give you victory over it. Amen. God can give you victory over anything. Amen. Do we really believe that? Any sin that's going on in our life, God can give us victory. And anger is an emotional problem. It is an emotional response, an unjust response to something, either a perceived threat. Now, notice how I said perceived threat. Many times we think people are a threat when they're not. But really what it is, it's a threat to our pride. You have a pride problem. You need to walk in the Spirit. Look at 1 Peter 5:5. We're to walk in the Spirit with the Lord, but we're also to lay our pride down. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. All, why do you think through the Bible, all through the Proverbs, all through the Old Testament, all through the New Testament, talks about meekness, humbleness, submission. If we do that, we're not going to have interpersonal problems such as anger. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, what does it say? Likewise, the younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with what? Humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of who? God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know what? Let God take care of that problem that you have. Let God take care of that hurt. Let God take care of your bitterness. Let God take care of your anger. Humble yourself, and that's really what walking in the Spirit is, submitting and humbling yourself under God's mighty hand and his power and his word. That's how you can have victory over anger. When you're walking with God, you're not going to be angry. Amen? If you're walking in the Spirit, when someone does something wrong to you, you're going to do the exact opposite of what people are expecting. You know, some people want to get you angry. Some people want to get you upset. Ha! See, I told you, Christians aren't any better than we are. That's what they're trying to do. People at work, they try and needle you. How many met someone like that? Man, you're a pastor. I know about someone right now that tries to needle me and tries to make me upset. None of you have nobody like that? Nobody? Oh, come on. We all met somebody like that. Okay, none of you know someone like that. Well, I've known a couple. Just try, and they try and get you upset. Try and get you angry. Try and get you to respond in the wrong way. You have a pride problem. You need to walk in the Spirit. But also need to pray for victory. Say, Lord, I don't want to be this angry person anymore. I don't want to be a foolish person. I don't want to be a bad testimony. I don't want to have division in my life. Lord, I don't want to have sin. I don't want these things in my life. Will you help me? And he will. And study God's word about anger. We went through a lot of verses tonight, but there's many more. Many examples of anger in the Bible, of what the results were and what we can do about it. What does Ephesians chapter 4 say? Ephesians 4, verses 26 and 27. Last verses for tonight, and I'm done. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. Now, verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And so that we shouldn't be sinning in our anger. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You know, a lot of people like to justify their wicked, sinful anger. Well, it's righteous indignation. You know what? I have righteous indignation against my wife because she did this and this and this and this, and I got to tell her what for. That's not godly. Well, I've got to tell my husband what for. I got to tell my kids what for. They did wrong, so I've got to give them the 10th degree and the 3rd degree and make them realize their wicked ways. And yell and scream at them and put the fear of God in them. That's not godly. It's not. Never turns out well, does it? Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. I mean, get it right. Don't let it fester into bitterness. But put it away from you. Cease from anger and wrath, as Proverbs says and Psalms say. Cease from it. Don't need to walk in an angry path. You know, it's unfortunate. Unfortunately, some of it's true that independent Baptists have been known for their anger, unfortunately. And justifying their anger. Nothing wrong with being upset at sin. I mean, when we see sin going on, it upsets us. But also should break our heart. You know, we gotta go do something about it, and we gotta go ream them out. That's not God. That's not. We get upset, but then our heart breaks for them because of their sin. That's compassion and love for somebody. I said, Pastor, you know, so whenever I hear about an injustice being done or someone being hurt or something like that, that I'm never to get upset. It's a natural thing for us to get upset. But then when we get in the flesh, that's where sin comes in. Don't give place to the devil. That's what it's talking about here. Don't give place to the devil. And screaming and yelling and doing all of that is giving place to the devil. Tearing someone down, that's exactly what the devil wants. He wants us to destroy one another. If the devil can get us to destroy one another, he won't have to. Amen? If he gets churches to destroy themselves, hey, he doesn't have to worry about it then. If he gets Christians bitter and angry and not right with God, so they can't, they're spiritually defeated, then hey, his job's complete. He can go worry about somebody else when they're defeated. So will we live defeated, or will we repent and say, Lord, it's sin. Will you forgive me? He'll cleanse you from it. Lord, I need victory. He'll give you victory. Will you search his word for it? Be a student of the word in this area and let God change your life. Let God take your anger away. Let God take your clamoring and your wrath and your evil speaking away from you and your bitterness and hatred. And God will forgive you. God will clean you up and God will set you on the right path. You don't need to be angry. You don't need to live a life of anger. God can save you from it.